tension between a native village corporation and its shareholders has reached a boiling point. Shattuck called Sitka police to their annual meeting in May, saying threats had been made against staff and the board. But shareholders have a different story, one of raising their voices against a corporation in financial freefall. KCAW's Emily Kwong reports on a growing movement by shareholders to challenge Shattuck's leadership.
Shattuck has 3,000 shareholders, and Christine Silvanio is one of them. She flew all the way from New Jersey to attend this annual meeting, but was asked to leave when two staff members noticed she was live streaming the gathering over Facebook.
So basically, they both threatened to have me escorted out. How do you interpret these actions?
I interpret it as they're hiding something.
This is Margaret Carlson, who lives in Sitka. We're huddled outside the front door of Allen Hall as the rain pours and shareholders mill about. There are three board members up for re-election and, Carlson says, a grassroots movement to vote them out.
It's time for a change. And all they've done was take our corporation down millions of dollars.
Much of it under the tenure of CEO Ken Cameron, who is also the president and the board chair. He was hired in 2010 when total revenue was at $180 million. As of the last annual report in 2015, Shattuck's revenue had plummeted to $3 million. Now, to bring Shattuck back into the black, the corporation is selling thousands of acres of its land in Cube Cove to the Forest Service. Mike Kinville, a shareholder based in North Pole, is worried the corporation is on a path towards landlessness and bankruptcy.
It's not a corporation to me. You know, it's not a business to me. It represents my legacy. As a Tlingit man, it's my responsibility to pass it to my descendants. But when I see it being run like this, and if you look at the financials, you can see that it's failing.
But it's not just Shattuck's business strategy that's raising tempers. It's also how they're treating their shareholders. The morning of the meeting, a huge wave of people showed up, filing past those two police officers that Shattuck called to hand in their proxies. The polls closed, and the board then went into recess for 3 hours to count votes, refusing to take questions, like in the past. This left the roughly 200 shareholders there, many of them elders, waiting and frustrated.
We just went home after all of this. I was too upset to stay around.
David Kanosh is blind. His mother Eloise is leading them both back into the building.
When you can't see where you're going, and nobody's helping you. You know, this is disabled abuse. This is elder abuse.
Shattuck did not return KCAW's requests for comment after this meeting, but later published a statement on their website saying they didn't intend to mistreat anyone and just needed time to count votes. They called police out of concern, claiming threats had been made in the past.
There were some folks in there that were concerned.
Both sides, it seemed, had their defenses up. Shattuck stonewalling any attempt by shareholders to speak and shareholders voicing their outrage at will. When I was standing in the entryway at the invitation of shareholders, the corporation's lawyer, his name is Bruce Edwards, said no press are allowed in the building.
If you want to talk to him out there or take pictures out there, that's fine.
And he, along with staff, shut the door.
You guys are ridiculous. You know that. Yeah.
Carlson and Silviano, she's the one who was live streaming, were pretty upset.
This is how they treat us.
This is what we're coming up against.
This is how they treat the shareholders.
And it's especially hurtful given the history. Corporations like Shattuck were founded to protect the rights and sovereignty of Alaska Natives, from the oldest shareholder to the youngest.
I got cold.
Say, I'm Bunny Blackbird.
I'm Bunny Blackbird.
Her mom, Martina Dundas, is a partial shareholder, born after the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was signed in 1971. And the way the corporation is going, she's worried her daughter is going to inherit nothing.
She got on the microphone in there after they adjourned for the first intermission. And she said, I want Shattuck to be saved. And she said, amen. And how many people in there, they had tears in their eyes as they said amen as well. So I don't want this corporation to go
Mommy.
Away. I want it to be a legacy of my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren.
From inside, we hear that the independent movement just got a break. Enough votes to unseat Shirley Yocum, a board director for 30 years, with newcomer Lawrence Garrity. Dundas lets out a big exhale. Finally, she says, it seems like we have somebody that has our interests.
What are you going to tell your daughter when she asks Mommy what happened?
I'm going to say that we're starting to get all the ducks lined up to be able to provide for her.
The meeting is over. The board is now about to convene behind closed doors. I catch Garrity on his way there. He hopes his election will send a message to Sciatica.
You know, in 9 days, we got 98,000 votes. In 3 weeks, they got 90. They need to listen to our elders, listen to our people.
It's hard to say whether Sciatica took that message to heart. That day, the board reelected Cameron as chair. Their next meeting is in July. Meanwhile, the independent group is not backing down. Calling themselves shareholders for Sciatica's future, they're raising money. There's been bake sales and silent auctions, all to support more independent representation and attempt to remove Cameron entirely. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.